was in elementary school, I lived in a tenement, but my parents were never home. One day, I arrived home in the afternoon, and naturally, they weren't there. With the setting sun to my back, I stepped inside, but then I saw something reflected in the dresser mirror. Something in the other room that couldn't have been. It was me. I ran from the house as fast as I could. Hey guys, I'm your host Tara A. Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Koabana, true Japanese scary stories from around the internet. To start with today, I have two very special announcements. First is that the Koabana and Toshiden podcasts are both now available on Spotify. If you'd prefer to listen to the podcast over there, or if you have a friend who hasn't subscribed yet, please feel free to let them know that you can now find us there. Simply type in Koabana or Toshiden and then hit subscribe. Second, Toshiden, Exploring Japanese Urban Legends, Volume 1, is now on sale. I've been working really hard on this book for a while now, and I'm really excited to see what you guys think of it. I did a lot of research, and I've put together a collection of close to 70 urban legends from Japan. Not just supernatural ones, but different legends from Japanese society, entertainment, medicine, and so on. A lot of these legends have never been translated into English before, so if you're looking for something new, please check it out. You can find the links on koabana.net or type in Toshiden over at Amazon directly. Now, on this week's show, we're going to be looking at some of my favorite stories about haunted houses. I love haunted houses. There's just something about being trapped in a small space that's supposed to be your safe zone. But what do you do when that's no longer the case? Our first story is about two young brothers who visit a friend that lives in a particular apartment building. The 13th floor of this building is off limits, but curiosity gets the better of them, and they decide to find out why. What they find waiting for them may soon kill that curiosity for good. Find out what happens in The 13th Floor. Has anyone ever lived in Beppu City in Oita Prefecture? The setting for this story is a certain old apartment. My brother and I are a two-sibling family. From a young age, I always looked up to my brother. Ever since elementary school, I used to follow him around and play games together. At that time, my brother had a friend who lived in that particular apartment. The apartment was a 13-story building and designed by a famous architect, so while it looked old, it had a certain air about it. His friend lived on the 4th floor, and my brother and I often went to visit him. Both his parents worked, and so he had a lot of freedom, but there was just one rule he had to follow. Don't go to the 13th floor. Let me explain a little about the construction of the building. It was built so you could see each floor's hallway and apartment door from the outside. So it was pretty much the same as those multi-unit apartment complexes. You could see people walking along the passageways and entering their apartments from the outside. However, the 13th floor, the very top floor, was covered by a wall, so you couldn't see in. You get it? Well, It's not really that important. But in any case, you couldn't see the 13th floor from outside the building. There was only one staircase and one elevator, both located in the center of the building. At the time, occult stories were popular, so hearing about a 13th floor you mustn't enter captured my young heart. Hey, what's on the top floor? Who knows? All I know is that my parents told me not to go up there. Maybe it's a storehouse or something. Let's go check it out. No way. Other people will see us, and they'll tell my parents. However, his friend lost to my brother's curiosity, and they agreed to go to the 12th floor and have a look. All right, let's go. Then his friend started climbing the stairs. Hey, we're going to the 12th floor, right? Why don't we use the elevator? No, I don't like the elevator. Huh? Come on, let's go. You guys can take it. I'll take the stairs. I had a lot of questions, but in the end, just myself and my brother ended up taking the elevator. Looking back on it, that was the first time I ever used an elevator. Come to think of it, I haven't used one since. The elevator arrived and we got on. Suddenly, I understood. I didn't want to use it anymore. It was so small, it could barely fit four adults, and it was pitch black. There were no lights. It was really creepy. I didn't want to seem like a scaredy cat though, and so I pretended not to care and got on with my brother. However, the moment I stepped inside, a foul smell pierced my nostrils. It was like a combination of chemicals and rotting fish. The door closed. From amongst the buttons listing floors 1 through 13, we pressed 12. For a moment, the elevator dropped, and then slowly it began to ascend. I've never been in an elevator that shook so much. There was no light, so standing in the darkness as we rose, I was scared. When we reached the 12th floor again, the elevator shook. My brother's friend was waiting there, with a smile on his face. See? Bet you don't want to use it again, huh? Alright, let's take the stairs from here. We proceeded up the stairs, and when we reached the landing, we turned. We could see the entrance to the 13th floor. It was closed off with wood. I got goosebumps. Looking closer, I could see that even the smallest gaps were filled in with heavy-duty glue. Looks like the only way in is through the elevator then. Why are those boards here? Ugh, it's so creepy. They stood there for a while and chatted, when suddenly, from the other side of the wall, we heard something. It was as clear as day, but I was apparently the only one who heard it. Neither my brother nor his friend appeared to hear it while they were chatting. I tried to tell my brother about it, but seeing as I was only a first grader, I didn't think he'd believe me. I immediately wanted to get away from there. Hey, let's go back and finish our game. I whined, but they agreed, and we went back down to the 12th floor. When we reached the bottom of the stairs, I heard something again. This time, everyone heard it, but we all pretended not to. That was the end of that. But I later heard the following from my brother. On a different day, the two of them were hanging out. It was the anniversary of the school's founding or something, and they were playing video games. Oh, I'm tired of this. Same. Want to call someone and go hang out somewhere? Nah, not really. Oh, yeah. So, about the 13th floor. Turns out it's not a storehouse. I asked my parents about it. They said when we moved in that the landlord told them the top floor was off limits to tenants. They guessed something was odd up there, but they never pressed him about it. He tried to distract himself with another game, but he couldn't fight the boredom. Bored people find the bravery to do strange things. The two of them went up to the 13th floor. Speaking of, have you ever seen the elevator stop at the 13th floor? Yeah, I have. I wanted to see who it was, so I waited for them to get off, but no one was there. Huh, that's strange. The elevator arrived. They got on, and as it passed through the floors, bright, dark, bright, dark. But as they reached the 13th floor, it was just dark. The top floor was pitch black. They only knew they'd arrived when the doors opened. The absent-minded pair stepped into the 13th floor. As their eyes adjusted to the darkness, they saw two doors. That meant there were two rooms. That wall must be why this floor is so dark. Not just that. There aren't any lights either. Ah, so there aren't. They both laughed. From behind them, they heard the sound of a girl's laughter. It was the first time my brother felt all the blood drain from his body. When he turned around, a girl was standing there, covered head to toe in white clothes. She was thin. Her hair reached her chest, and she was grinning at him. He had to get out of there. Hello? She slowly began to approach him. Hey. A soft voice spoke to him. Would you like to come visit my room? It's fun.
No, that's okay. We'll come back again next time.
Next time?
Yeah, we'll see you next time.
As he finished speaking, the girl looked up, her eyes wide open.
Next time? When? When?
My brother and his friend ran for the elevator, slamming the close button over and over. The girl screamed. Her expression so terrifying that the two boys couldn't take their eyes off her, even if they wanted to. After that, they ran from the apartment back to our house. That night, my brother's friend stayed over. My brother told me about these events months after they happened, but at the time, he often liked to tease me, saying things like,
there's a guy on the top floor full of needles. And there's a cat that talks. So, I didn't believe him. However, about 2 years ago, we were reminiscing and having fun when my brother said, "Speaking of, I wonder who that girl really was." "Huh? You mean that story was real?" That building is still there, and so is the wood covering the 13th floor. The elevator was replaced and is new now. Just what is that building? I'd love to go in one day and check it out again. The number 13 doesn't have the same meaning in Japan as it does to us. In general, the number 4 is thought of to be unlucky, because the word for 4, shi, is also the same word for death. But that doesn't mean that Japanese people aren't aware of the connotations of 13 in the West. As things like Friday the 13th and Western culture break through more and more, many Japanese people have at least heard of 13 being an unlucky number, even if they don't really believe it themselves. This next story is about a woman who goes to stay in her mother's house after she passes away. But as she goes to sleep each night, she notices a shadow outside the door. A shadow that's getting smaller by the day. Who or what is it? Find out in The Shadow is Getting Smaller. This all started about 2 months ago. My mother's house was way out in the countryside, and after she passed, I went to live there alone. As I was sleeping one night, the sliding door to the balcony suddenly got bright. I looked towards it, and I could see the shadow of a large person on the other side. It was the shadow of a person, but it was so big I could only see up to the hips and the hands hanging by its side. I was so surprised I couldn't do anything. And I don't know whether it realized I was looking at it or not, but suddenly it went dark and the shadow disappeared. I was pretty scared, but it all happened so quickly that I thought maybe I was just seeing things. I went back to sleep. But after that, the same thing happened every night, without fail. About 5 days after I first saw it, I realized that it wasn't a dream. It was really there. Was someone playing a joke? Was I hallucinating? Even though I had no idea what was going on, night after night, it got bright outside, and I saw a shadow through the sliding screen door. I didn't know who I could talk to, so I never told anyone about it. Then, another week passed. I began to realize something. The shadow would remain until I looked at it. But that wasn't all. Day by day, the shadow was getting smaller. At first, I could only see up to the hips, but after 2 weeks had passed, I was able to see from the stomach all the way down to the knees. That was when I started to think that it probably wasn't a prank, but more likely some type of supernatural occurrence. Plus, if the shadow was getting smaller and smaller, if I continued to ignore it, then it would eventually disappear. At least, that's what I thought. Just as I expected, about a month later, the shadow had gotten small enough that I could now see the entire body. There were even nights where I fell asleep, and I never noticed it at all. The feeling of fear I once had was beginning to pass. Up until just a few days ago, the shadow continued getting smaller and smaller, but nothing else ever happened. Now that I could see the full body of the shadow, and the shadow of its hair reaching its waist, I remembered how big it was when I first saw it, and was a little scared once more. Then, 2 days ago, my friend called me around to her house. For the first time, I told her about what was happening. Every night, starting from 2 months ago, there was a shadow that was getting smaller and smaller by the day, and it was now about the size of a regular person. I told her everything. As I did, she suddenly turned blue and pulled out her phone. "You really are an idiot." She turned the lights off and shone the light of her phone on me. "Come here." Her hand was shaking. I did as she said and walked towards the light, standing before it. "Walk towards that wall, slowly." I had no idea why, but I did as she said and started walking towards the wall, away from the light. As I got closer to the wall, a chill ran down my spine. "The shadow's getting smaller." Having finally realized, I got chills and goosebumps like I'd never felt before. That's right. As I got further away from the light and closer to the wall, my shadow slowly got smaller. You didn't need to think very hard about it to understand what was going on. The shadow was about the same shape as the one I saw the night before. That meant the shadow was right on the other side of the sliding screen door. I still can't return to the house, so I've been staying with my friend. If I hadn't noticed and was still living there, I wonder what would have happened. When I think about it, I still can't stop from trembling. This next story is about a junior high boy whose art teacher can see ghosts. When she tells him about one she's seen in her house recently, however, the figure sounds all too familiar. Could it really be who he thinks it is? Find out in "There's a Junior High Girl in My House." This happened when I was in junior high school. I was in the art club, and I was talking to the young female teacher at a sketch meet. I was unable to see ghosts myself, so I was terribly interested in other people's stories. "Miss, have you ever seen a ghost?" I asked the teacher in the same tone I always used. It turned out she had, and she told me her story. It happened 6 years prior, but there was a ghost in her house. The first time she saw it, she wasn't especially concerned with it. She often saw ghosts, so it was like, "Oh, another one." The ghost was a junior high girl, wearing a dress, and she was standing at the end of the hall, looking down at the ground. That same day, when she was sitting on the tatami mats in her room, she saw the girl sitting on the stairs, staring down at the ground. Seeing her around the house more and more often, the teacher started to get a little frightened, so she described what the ghost looked like to her mother. When she did, her mother looked at her with a strange expression.
That sounds like the daughter of the architect that built that house. There was an accident during construction, and she died. She came to see the house while it was being built. After that, the teacher began seeing the ghost around the house more often. She wanted to mention it to the architect, but she was unable to get in contact with him. Upon hearing her story, my heart froze. It wasn't that I was scared. It was that I suddenly realized who she was talking about. That girl was my older sister, who died in a traffic accident 6 years earlier. And the architect she couldn't get in contact with was my father, who committed suicide 5 years earlier. The biggest shock was that my sister hadn't yet moved on. I wanted to do whatever it took to help her. I explained to the teacher about the accident, and the very next day I went over to her house. My mother wanted to go with me, but was unable to escape work, so she entrusted me with everything, and I went by myself. The teacher greeted me at the door. She guided me to the room where she often saw my sister. It was a dim room, without much sunlight. I got angry at myself, not realizing that my sister was in such a lonely place all by herself. The teacher left me alone, and I pleaded with my sister. "I'm sorry I left you here all alone for so long. I'm sorry I didn't notice. But I've come for you now. You're not alone. Come on, let's go home. Let's go back home." Halfway through, I started crying. What did my sister think of me? How could I let such a cruel thing happen to my kind and gentle sister? I sat there crying until I felt a soft tapping on my shoulder. I turned around. A young girl was standing there. A complete stranger, with a dreadful look on her face. She looked at me, grinning in satisfaction.
"You're going to take me home?"
I still don't know whether my real sister is resting in peace or not. Our last story for this week is about a young woman who lives on the first floor of an apartment building. She tends to leave her door open for her cat to come and go, but something she sees out of the corner of her eye one night makes her question whether that's such a good idea anymore. Find out what happens in "I Saw Something Move Out the Corner of My Eye." I live on the first floor of an apartment building that allows animals, but there's no door for them to come in and out, so I leave the back door open just a little. One night, I saw something moving at the corner of my eye. I thought it might just be the cat, but unlike my cat, it was white. When I looked again, just for a moment, I saw a girl's white face, half peeking in. "What the?" I thought, and it disappeared. I can't see ghosts, and the building was rather new, so I just put it down to a figment of my imagination. A little while later, I went to put my clothes away, and when I opened the drawer, I saw that face, half peeking at me again. Shocked, I tried to close the drawer quickly and took a step back, but I got caught on it, so it didn't close all the way. I wasn't brave enough to open it again, but having said that, I wasn't very happy leaving it slightly open either.
I was scared, so I grabbed my cat and fearfully approached the chest of drawers. Doing my best not to look at it, I took a ruler and pushed the stuck clothes back in and closed it. I then forced myself to go to sleep, still holding the cat. The next day, I wondered if I'd just imagined it all, but when I went out into the garden, I noticed some clothes had fallen from the second floor. I picked them up and went to take them back upstairs when I noticed a pile of salt at the door. As soon as I saw it, I shuddered. So that's why she came to me. Ever since then, I've been terrified of slightly ajar doors and drawers. As you may know, salt is often used in Japan to ward against evil. When the woman saw the pile of salt upstairs, she realized it was repelling the ghost and why it came to see her instead. So remember, if you don't want ghosts finding their way to your place, time to put out a few strategic bowls of salt. And that's all for this week. Don't forget to pick up a copy of Toshiden, Exploring Japanese Urban Legends, available today. And head over to our Patreon if you'd like early access to both this and the Toshiden podcasts, as well as bonus episodes. Thanks, guys. And I'll see you again next time for even more Koabana, true Japanese scary stories from around the internet. Want even more scary stories? Head over to koabana.net for new translations every week. You can also join our Patreon for exclusive stories you won't find anywhere else. Head over to koabana.net now.